Hello, I'm Rach.
Hi, I'm Nicole.
And welcome to Pop the Kettle On,
the parenting, womanhood, marriage, baby and life review podcast.
Every couple of weeks, we're going to dissect the good, the bad and the ugly of family life. And every now and then, have a laugh about the crazy ways it's depicted in popular culture.
Because it's always tea time.
And Nicole, if I don't laugh, I'll cry.
Me too. So Rach, how's your week been?
Week? Was there a week since I've seen you last? Has there been a full 7 days?
No, and that's a good thing.
Mental.
Mental?
Pretty mental.
Why?
Well, boring. I'm opening a new office.
So for our listeners out there, Rach is a clinical psychologist. So a new office means moving all of your clients from one place to another and saying, don't get lost, come to the new place.
Indeed. And changing all my letterhead.
Oh, fun times.
And my Medicare provider number.
What? You have to change that because you're moving?
Yeah, because it's mapped to the practice location where you are, blibbity blah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have a very long list of things I need to do.
Right.
Of which I've done none.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because I'm actually just still trying to see clients, so I have money
to move.
To make the new office. So anyway, yes, I am a clinical psychologist.
Excellent.
I am, indeed.
What do you specialise in?
I work a lot with kids and families. I suppose, how old am I now? 38. I pretty much went through school, straight into uni, started psychology. So I've been a psychologist since I was a baby at 22.
Wow.
So that makes it about 16 years now.
Well, I had a baby at 22. And so what is your favourite thing about it? What do you love?
What do I love? Do you know what? I've always loved kids.
Yeah.
And so...
couldn't eat a whole one.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you know this about me.
Yeah.
Nicole and I have known each other for...
Five years.
Yeah. We met when our babies were tiny.
Yeah.
We met one day at the library. Songs and Stories.
Oh, thank goodness for that place.
I had tears in my eyes. Nicole had a smile on her face. And an air of confidence.
Oh, God, it was fake. It was all fake.
You had baby number 4.
That's true.
In your belly.
Yes, I did. Yes. I did. And, you know, the genesis of this podcast is all around Pop the Kettle On. And that first day was, right, you need to come and have coffee with me. Come and sit and be a person for a minute.
Indeed. Mm. And so basically, you know, my Nicole and then our little network of about 10 of us that all decided we needed to pop the kettle on every week, which was a real sanity saver for pretty much all of us, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Having our little mum's group, our little library group.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost the question. What was it?
It was about, you were telling me about when you became a psychologist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Story. Well, I wanted to be a teacher.
Ah, yeah. I did not know that.
Yes, I did. Do you know anything about teaching, Nicole?
Wow, segue queen. So I became a teacher after having my first 2 kids and taught high school for about 5 minutes, drama and English and a bit of art, and you know, it was fantastic but exhausting. So I like to think of myself as a recovered high school teacher.
Yeah,
but you didn't realize that was what you started off with.
I didn't, because basically my 2 parents are both teachers.
Yes, that I know.
When I was filling in my what do we call it, QTAC, is that what it is,
university entrance form stuff,
in Queensland, I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Oh. So you saw that.
I mean, that's so rare for a 17-year-old. No idea.
In your clinical experience.
Yeah.
That is so rare.
I know. How odd of me. And I do remember that I thought, what makes me feel good and, you know, kind of like fills me up, kind of gets that buzz. Not my job at McDonald's at the time.
No.
Funnily enough.
I'm stunned.
Another thing we have in common.
Yep.
And so I thought, you know, it's funny because I'd sort of, when you do little study groups with your friends and stuff like that, I noticed that I'd kind of like you know, turn to my mates and be like, oh, well, that's easy. If you just look at the maths thing like blah, 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 and put it together this way, then that's how you get the answer.
Yeah.
And I think I just kind of had that thing in my blood from being raised from two teachers.
Yeah.
Where I found it pretty easy to kind of flip into that mode of putting things that are complex into relatively simple terms.
Yeah.
And so I thought, and I love kids. You and I both were born clucky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
And I just, the little faces. Squidgy faces. Having a job where you can sit with kids all day long. So I wanted to do, I thought, okay, maybe I'll do primary education. It's odd. Like, I had pretty good marks. I remember looking through, like, the list on, you know, QTAC and all the stuff and going, like, business? No. Law? No.
Definitely no.
Something, I don't know, chemistry, science, engineering?
Yeah, no.
I just couldn't see any of that stuff working.
Yeah.
I think my mum was kind of like, Rach, you're pretty smart. You're going to get an okay OP.
Yeah.
Being with kids all day and teaching is great.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was, what, 20 years ago now?
Yeah.
The life of a teacher, and it's gotten worse, is so not hard. So much that, you know, interfacing with the students, being able to feel like you're effective, it's lots of paperwork, and you know, like the bureaucracy.
Parents. Yeah, we're the
worst. So guess what?
What?
I went, well, I don't know, I think I've seen psychologists on TV that sit and talk to people that maybe won't be too daft. So I just kind of entered into arts psychology.
Yeah.
And found it really fascinating from the get-go. And what's funny about my career is that I do work with kids.
Mm.
I do also have a lot of experiences of finding that it's actually lots of work with the parents.
Yeah, yeah.
That can be difficult and frustrating.
Mm.
You don't get paid enough for what you do, same as teaching.
Yeah.
And there's layers of bureaucracy, same as teaching.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You just can't escape it, basically, is what we're saying.
Indeed. I'm glad I made that choice because I sometimes think, like, what's great about the job I do is people come in mostly voluntarily and it's like a classroom of one.
Yeah.
And I'm afforded a lot of latitude to be creative and, you know, have fun on that journey of kind of helping people. So it's not all teaching, but it's kind of shifting from one state to another.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool that you found it as well, because I mean that's like you say, you know, it's so rare that as a 17-year-old you didn't know what the hell you wanted to do with the rest of your life. I love that it's now like 15 you're making choices about prerequisites that will get you into university. I mean, it's super stressful stuff for kids.
I know.
And parents want the best for their kids, and so the pressure is like so much. Is that kind of something that you deal with in your practice, kids who are like amped and wired for stress? It's a lot, isn't it, for kids, I think.
Yeah, I think in many ways, like, not to get too kind of, like, heavy right from the get-go.
This is a light and fun podcast.
You know, like, I think the perspective is that there's certain people who are prone to mental health problems. True. And there's quite a strong genetic loading.
Mm.
But, you know, I think in my experience, it's the combination of that, someone who is wired to be a bit more of an overthinker or a perfectionist, but then placed in toxic environments,
you
know, like...
with external factors that really push them into a particular zone.
Yeah, so I think kind of in many ways, like, our culture's not very supportive of people maintaining wellness, you know, and we know what contributes to that. Getting good sleep,
yes.
Socializing,
yes.
Doing things that are fun, relaxing, having hobbies, balanced life, all that kind of stuff.
And parents, they would get a lot of sleep, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
No.
I know.
I read something about the amount of hours that you lose having your first baby of sleep, and it's like, don't read that. That will scare you. Don't do that.
I do not want to know.
I'm not telling you then. So in my kind of experience as a teacher, kids often would come in and just be exhausted from all of the stuff that they were scheduled to do and things like that.
Yeah.
And I wondered whether, like, I remember doing things as a kid, like I was into dance and I was into netball, and but I don't remember it being so intense. Do you think it's things have gotten, or are we just now parents and realizing that, I don't know, is it a weird switch?
I think you're asking, like, the ultimate old fogey question.
I am older than you by 3 years. So maybe I'm turning old fog before my time.
It's sounding a little kids these days.
Oh, God, no. Okay, I'm stopping. I'm not going to talk anymore.
I don't know. I think it takes a sociologist to be able to answer that question.
Yeah.
How much have things really changed?
Yes.
Is it really that much more stressful?
Awesome.
Is there really more anxiety these days? Or is it just we're noticing it, we have a word for it?
Yes.
And there's particular challenges, you know. There's economic challenges that face kids leaving school these days that didn't face us 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of, it hurts me almost every day, the idea that I can't actually afford a house or a car that I thought I would have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like when you become an adult.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to have that nice Queenslander with the big yard and the pool and the car. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm comfortably middle class. I don't do too badly. But, you know,
the ideas that you build in your head beforehand. You know that yard you would just have to look after, and the amount of work that a pool involves. I mean, really, you're just saving yourself the hassle.
Yeah. And by the way, I need to remind you I chose something in the humanities.
Yeah, exactly. We all make our choices and we live with them, and that's fine. Yes. Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? Because, I mean, our eldest is off to uni and she's actually studying business. And I just think, wow, you are such a humanities human.
Mm.
And it's really interesting that, you know, she's gravitating towards like the human resources recruitment kind of angle of the business stuff that she's learning. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, your parents being teachers kind of would have had a certain thought pattern and, I guess, behavioural patterns that would lead you into certain areas, you know, depending if they were science teachers or if they were humanities teachers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of...
Yeah.
You be what you see.
Yeah.
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 But, yeah, it's interesting that they try and fight against it sometimes. I want to have some money. I don't want to be in humanities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Ben always, my husband Ben, who, you know, we're quite kind of left-leaning and, you know, like inner-city hipsters. And someone said to me...
Yeah, can I just point out, the tea that you're drinking is a chamomile with honey and vanilla that I found down the back of my cupboard somewhere. I will need to replenish stocks.
There shall be no Liptons around here, thank you very much. Someone once said to me, like, they go, I can't quite tell about you. You're kind of like part hipster, part hippie. And I went, that's probably a pretty accurate description.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, you know, does it really matter in the end of it? I think the whole label thing that we do to each other, particularly as parents, oh, my word.
Mm.
There's a great article out. The Australian did an amazing article about women and working and having it all and all that sort of stuff, and women who wouldn't go on the record about saying how difficult their lives were, right? And my whole thing is always now, I think, that I've got four kids, and I think you kind of, you do let your expectations and standards drop because you just cannot maintain the kind of crazy that levels of bananas that you were maintaining before, that, you know, we just have to just drop the ball occasionally, just let it fall down and drop the facade that we're all this perfect kind of woman, mum. I mean, you know, and drop the judgment. We're just humans doing our best.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, particularly like for you as a clinical psychologist, me as a former teacher, like, people expect that you have some kind of magic sauce around raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, your kid does what a kid does and throws a tantrum somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, but you're a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
How are you letting this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Is that pressure sort of professionally as well as a parent?
Yes. Completely.
Mm.
And that voice in my head said that exactly to me. You should know. Yes, how to do this better.
Intellectually.
By the way, don't you know this author who has this strategy and this theory? And
yeah,
it you know, like when I first had my kids, I stepped away from working with kids and families for a little while. Having said that, I used to work in a few organisations that worked with kids who, you know, really kind of had difficult circumstances, child safety kind of cases, public kind of child and youth mental health, where you tend to kind of get, you know, people who don't have many socioeconomic resources, and, you know, intergenerational kind of normalisation of, you know,
trauma and
how things are, domestic violence, etc. And I think that I was just kind of like, it's really tricky to go to work, and I know colleagues who do this and can manage it, but that idea of going to work and hearing just tragic stories about kids at certain ages and then going home and kissing your babies, I was just like, I'm going to smother them out of fear of what I know can happen to kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you go from that, you know, you hear one extreme and then you go to the other of trying to mitigate those risks and make sure that your kids know that they are loved, and then they're like, get off me.
No. And my husband's a psychologist as well, to our great shame.
That's not shameful.
But, you know, I think that then it's often helpful because we do similar jobs or in the same industry. We have a shorthand for understanding things.
Mm.
But I kind of think, like, our children run the risk of being, you know, too overanalyzing parents, kind of like constantly sitting down and saying, so, describe where in your body you're experiencing those feelings. And this is how we do assertive communication. You know, that whole idea of you try and raise them according to your values.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of playing that dance of if you lay it on too thick, then they end up going the other way.
Yeah, they will rebel against that stuff. I'll tell you how I'm feeling. Slam.
Like, Mom, you've told me so much boosting my self-esteem that I think that I'll just kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what in my mind I imagine. I just kind of think we're all going to scar our children in some way.
Yes.
And I kind of like the idea of sometimes not knowing in which way I'm going to scar them.
And I think that acknowledgement that we are all going to do something to our kids that they will remember for years to come, and, you know, you might not even remember, but that it'll be the one defining moment in their lives, you know, and you're like, I was doing the best I could. And I think that's all that any of us can ask of each other.
Yeah.
And...
well, can I admit to often not doing the best I can?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. No, but...
because that drives me nuts, that idea of, like, strive, put in effort.
Oh, no. Because I'll tell you what. Striving, just getting by.
Many days.
Just get by.
I am like, I am a shit person today and a shit mother and... F it all.
Yes.
By the way, we're going to have swearage on this podcast.
I think we need to establish this right now. Yeah, no. We definitely need swearage on this podcast. I came home the other day. You know how sometimes you just come home and you just want to be cranky? Like, you just want to be the grumpiest human in all of the world. You need to. You know Grumpy Cat? I just feel like I embodied Grumpy Cat. I think it was Thursday last week. I don't know what it was about. And I came home and I dead set flipped out over... the little plugs that cover the screws in my hooks that the kids hook their bags on.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yes,
the most ridiculous thing.
No, this sounds flip-worthy to me.
Who stole the plug out of the... just the one... I like, don't can't have nice things. And I was losing the plot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the two small humans were just like, I don't know who you are right now, lady. They were just looking at me
disdainfully, like,
yes,
mother.
yes, exactly. Like, how did I come from this? And you know, number two, large human, just came out of his room, 16 years old, delightful, came out and he's like, just come here. No. I'm like, what? You know, grumpy me. And he just wrapped, because, you know, he's taller than me now, and he just wrapped me up in his hug and he's like, just breathe. And you can't be grumpy in that moment. I mean, you know, I reverted straight back to grumpiness because I was in that mood. But it was just so nice to just be like, he was just, Yeah. Yeah, wrapped me up for a second. Just breathe. He's so just breathe. Beautiful. He's a beautiful human. Mm-hmm. And you know, scarred horribly by his parents.
I don't think so. I see it as an opportunity to demonstrate his empathy.
Yes.
Towards his mother.
That's right. And
you know, to pull his effing head in.
That's right.
Because something has driven the mother to this.
Something has happened, and even she doesn't know what it is. But that's, you know, they need those stories to tell each other about how bananas their parents are, because that's a shared experience that only siblings can have. Yeah. So
basically we're aiming for being bananas enough.
Yes. Just enough. Just to get some
somewhere
stories.
Out there there's a mythical line.
And you straddle it, and sometimes you go way over it, and other times you're like, winning at life. And I think that as parents, we often just look at each other and judge instead of just going, what do you need? What can I do?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think that we found in our little gang, library gang, as I call it.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of awesome humans who are getting by the best way they can and who will, you know, bring you cookies on their way home from work when they know that you've had a rough day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone's sick, like one of our mums was not well for a while, and, you know, we all played to our strengths, like driving kids places or baking or making food or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that we're not in this by ourselves, and we have to realise that, because I like that idea of it takes a village. And the village is different than it used to be, and you kind of have to make your own village, I think, now.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't go in for those judgy villages, because they will mess you up.
Yeah. I was so scared of becoming a parent.
Yeah? Really?
Because I thought, I'm going to have to interrace with those... Interrace. I'm not going to have to be interracial.
No.
I'm going to need to interact with those women.
Oh, wow. You had a preconceived notion about those women.
Totally. And when my kids started school, I was like... Uh-oh. Who am I going to encounter? I've heard of these judgmental ladies at the school gate.
Wow.
And that's really not been my experience.
Mm.
But, you know, you do hear that that's some people's experience. And, you know, some people say, I didn't bond with my mother's group, you know. And I think the worst part of that is going... Like, if they're not your people, they're not your people.
Yeah.
You know?
Try on new people.
Have you heard of Rebecca Sparrow?
Yes.
You know her?
I love her dearly.
So, you know, she has that book called Find Your Tribe.
Yes.
Which is for teenage girls.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a good advice for life, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
Not everyone's going to be into what it is that you are.
And just because geography and the time of your birth has put you in a place together,
for sure.
You know, like school, doesn't mean you have anything else in common.
But you're right, you know, and you do this so beautifully. I often credit you as being the person who is like the glue that helped bond a lot of us girls together in that group.
Well, I am a Nicole. And we very luckily have another Nicole.
We have two Nicoles. And they are the ones who organise all the stuff, allowing the Rachels of the world to be even
messier. To turn up and be. But I have experienced the judgy mums.
Mm.
And I think partly, you know, you have to be careful about what you put out in the world. You know, if you're putting out judgment all the time, then you can absolutely expect it to come back to you.
And I'm now realizing what it is, Nicole.
What?
I think I invite pity.
I don't think so.
No, I'm not joking.
I don't think so.
I quite seriously think.
No, that first day, definitely.
No.
That first day for sure. You didn't invite it. You just...
I don't think I project there's that woman who has it all together. I think I project there's that poor woman with the twins plus one for whom it is a massive challenge to make it from the walk from the school gate into the classroom with all three intact and no tears.
But that's an experience that everybody has. I mean, you know, the tear thing and the grabbing onto the school gate and I'm not going and mm-hmm. the yelling and the, you know, mm-hmm. all the things that kids do as mm-hmm. distraction devices mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. they work that stuff out so brilliantly to time it at the most inopportune moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens to all of us, mm-hmm. all of us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you're walking past that and you're going, oh, that terrible mother,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, if you're putting that out in the world, other people are going to be thinking that about you. Like, mm-hmm. if you put out in the world, do you want me to grab this one while you take mm-hmm. that, you know, yeah, then yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like to think that, you know, like my number three the other day was, we were walking along the street and she just kept complimenting people as we were passing them, like not to their faces or anything. She's like, oh, I really like her dress. Oh, he looks really fit. Like, I like that he's jogging. Good for him. And, oh, that's a nice dog. And, and I realized in the car later that, mm. like, even by myself in the car, I was yeah. saying these things out loud aww. As I'm driving past. Oh, cute skirt.
That is beautiful.
But it's not something – it's something that I've started doing, I think, more recently. There was mm-hmm. a time when I think I was with those – other judgy mums for a time, and then it'd be like, oh, what is she doing with her hair?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I went, oh, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now, you know, number three is doing the same thing.
So beautiful.
It's really cute.
It's pretty magic when you see your kids say stuff that comes out of your mouth and you go, oh, I did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other times when you go, when you, oh, I did that.
Oops, where'd they get that from?
I never say that. Oh, dag nabbit. I said it again. Yeah, I know. But they're beautiful little humans and they are hard work and we need to acknowledge the fact that they are
mm-hmm.
challenging.
Yeah.
And that often their challenging behavior is reserved for you at home because they've been holding in their good all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And getting by and getting them to bed and mm-hmm. having a cup of tea
mm-hmm.
or having a glass of wine, if that's mm-hmm. your deal, or, you know, blissing out, playing Hungry Babies or Candy Crush, is valid response to the busyness that it is. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, getting by is good. Mm-hmm. You got through another day.
Mm-hmm.
Yay to you, mama, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that note,
mm.
I think we need to get ourselves organized because we have a lunch.
We do have a lunch.
One of our library mums is riding, 300 kilometres for charity? Oh, my word. So that's mm-hmm. that's the other Nicole, and she is a powerhouse of
mm-hmm.
wonderfulness, and we love her.
Yes, she
and
is.
We're so glad that we're not doing the riding, so we are going to support her by going to lunch, because that's what we can do.
We can do the eating.
We can do the eating. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We've had a great time chatting, so I hope you've had a good time listening.
We have. How long's it gone for?
I have no idea how long
enough
gone
for me
for.
To finish my tea.
Yeah, I finished my tea too. So if you like what you heard, we have a Facebook page and you can find us at Pop the Kettle On. It's always tea time. Or you can follow us on Twitter mm-hmm. at @pop_kettle.
Mm-hmm.
Where else can they find us, Rach?
You built us a website.
I did. I made a thing. You showed me how to do it.
It's popthekettleon.com.au. So, look, you know, we're not that funny. So we need people to send us jokes, keep us laughing.
We're hilarious. What are you saying?
I mean, I think I'm hilarious. But anyway, you know, we're kind of thinking, we're just still figuring out exactly what this will be. But I think really our main purpose is to build a village, get yes. people laughing,
yes.
cure the isolation
yes.
that can come when you've got young kids.
Yes.
Hopefully sometimes be insightful or informative.
That will be your job. You do insightful and informative. I'll do ridiculous puns.
But I mean, our main role is to laugh.
Yes.
And catch up.
Yes.
So we hope that we do that for you as well.
So send us your, so on the website, popthekettleon.com.au, there is a suggestion box under the podcast tab, and you can send us your feedback, tell us a joke, send mm-hmm. us a meme, mm-hmm. like a funny gift that you like, mm-hmm. or I don't know, cat pictures mm-hmm. or something.
There's always something in the news about parenting and some yeah. bright idea.
Yeah. So topic suggestions, if mm-hmm. there's a guest that you think we should, you know, ask ooh. To come on, visit us and mm-hmm. chat on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me if you're wanting to follow me on Twitter @NicoleLessio.
Mm-hmm. And I have a my clinic, which is going to be moving eventually, a couple of weeks. It'll happen. So my clinic where I see people is called Pop Psychology. It is at the W's, littleshopofpop.com.
Yeah, it's beautiful, your webpage too. Thank you. I love it. Thank you. We'd love it if you can help us build our community. So give us some likes on the Facebook. Obviously, follow us on Twitter. Subscribe on the website and it'll come through to us. Review us once we get this podcast on iTunes eventually. And hit us up with your suggestions.
Mm-hmm. So until next time, hug your babies.
Hug your babies. Hug each other and drink lots of tea.
Hug your friends.
Yes, for sure.
Drink a tea.
And we'll catch you next time.
Fabulous.